Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, titled Deliverance of the Yamal Arjun Trees. Today we will read from text 30 to 32. The first two texts, 30 and 32, have a very short purport, and so we'll go on and read text 32 as well, which is on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I will read text 30 and 31. Tvam eka sarva bhutanam dehas matrendye ishvara tvam eva kalo bhagavan vishnur avyaya ishvara tvam mahan prakriti shukshma rajasattva tamomai tvam eva purusho dyaksha Sarvakshetra Vikaravit. Translation. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everything. Your body, life, ego, the body, life, ego, and senses of every living entity are your own self. You are the Supreme Person, Vishnu, the imperishable controller. You are the time factor, the immediate cause, and you are material nature consisting of the three modes, passion, goodness, and ignorance. You are the original cause of this material manifestation. You are the supersoul, and therefore you know everything within the core of the heart of every living entity. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sripad Madhvacharya has quoted from the Vamana Purana as follows. Rupya tvatu jagat rupam Vishnu shakshat shukatmakam Nitya purnam samudishtam Swarupam Paramatmana. Unfortunately, there's no translation given for that verse. So we'll go on to text 32, which we can chant together. Kriyamanais Tvam Agrayo Kriyamanais tvam agrayo. Kriyamanais tvam agrayo. Vikarai prakriter gunai. Vikarai prakriter gunai. Vikarai prakriter gunai. Ko nivyaharati vigyatum. Ko niv Harhati vigyatam Ko viharhati vigyatam Prak Siddham Guna Samvritaha praksidham guna samritaha praksidham guna samritaha kriyamanai. Accepting the body made of material nature as existing at the present moment because of being visible. Tvam, you, agriyaha, not confined in a body made of material nature. Vikarahai, agitated by the mind. Prakritai gunai, by the material modes of nature. Sattvagun, rajagun and tamagun. Kaha, who is there? Nu, after that. Iha, in this material world. Arhati, who deserves. Vigyatam, to know. Prak, siddham, that which existed before the creation. Guna, samvritaha, because of being covered by the material qualities. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who, trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world, can understand you? Purport. As it is said, Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Hijivado Swayameva Spuratyada. From Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. Krishna's name, attributes, and form are absolute truth, existing before the creation. Therefore, how can those who are created, that is, those entrapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? That is not possible. But sevan mukhi hi jiva do swayam eva svaratyada. Krishna reveals himself to those engaged in devotional service. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.15 by the Lord himself. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Even the descriptions of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam are sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, the best course by which to know him is to engage oneself in pure devotional activities. The more one advances in devotional activities, the more one can understand him as he is. If from the material platform one could understand Krishna, then, since Krishna is everything, sarvam klavidam brahma, one could understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world, but that is not possible. Mayam tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham tesh vavashtitai. Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Everything is resting on Krishna, and everything is Krishna, but this is not to be realized by persons on the material platform.
Om
jnana tamarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshulam militam yenam tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale sayam rupakadamayam tadati svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text 32, one more time. O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who, trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world, can understand you? Hare Krishna, I'm always embarrassed to speak in this assembly. I have no power, I have no devotion. I'm begging all the Vaishnavas for their mercy on me. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, when Krishna chastises someone, they become a saint. And when he kills someone, they become liberated. So here in the story of Nalakuvera and Manyagriva, Jai Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Radha Sham Sundar, Lalita Vishaka. So Nalakuvera and Manyagriva, they had become degraded, especially by intoxication and illicit connection with women. Srila Prabhupada writes in connection with the Ajamil story that illicit sex destroys all brahminical qualities. If you see the story of Ajamil, by his connection, his illicit connection with a woman, all of his brahminical culture was destroyed. And in the case of Nalakuvera and Manyagriva, even beyond brahminical culture, they didn't even have the culture to stay clothed in the presence of a great saintly person. So they had been degraded to that point, and Narada Muni cursed them. And they took their birth as Yamal Arjun trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and eventually were killed by Krishna, who took his grinding mortar to bring down those trees. And now we're at the point in the story where Nalakuvera and Manyagriva have become great saintly persons, and they are praying to the Lord and glorifying his opulences. And so the point here especially is that we can't know God, we can't know Krishna without his mercy. We can consider whatever power we have to see, to hear, any of the power of our senses, it is not really to our credit that we have this power. We were born with this power. Somehow they were given to us by the Creator. So how much power do we have in these senses? That's only by the Creator's mercy. And so, do we have the power to see God with these senses? It is only by His mercy, whether we can or we can't. And generally, it is not possible for the conditioned souls. What did Prabhupada say? Therefore, how can those who are created, that is, those entrapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? That is not possible. So, if we want to understand Krishna, we require His mercy, and that requires devotional service. By devotional service, we can hope to attract the mercy of Krishna. Right, so Srila Prabhupada starts quoting this verse, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The direct translation is not here in the purport, but I will read. Because Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, etc. are all on the absolute platform, material senses cannot therefore appreciate them. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Wow, so how important to purify the tongue if we hope to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. That especially means strictly taking only Krishna prasadam and regularly chanting the holy name of Krishna. Mahadevi Mataji was asking me before the class, she said, I'm hearing from Srila Prabhupada and he says we have to very attentively chant our 16 rounds every day. Please tell the devotees this in the class today. She says, I'm trying to hear from Srila Prabhupada every day, and that's something that I heard from him. So this is our process, to hear regularly, to chant. Then we can hope to purify our senses and attract the mercy of Krishna. And that is our hope for being able to know Krishna and perceive Krishna. This point comes up several times in Bhagavad Gita. I thought we could review some of the comments Srila Prabhupada makes. Here I think, what I read was Bhagavad Gita 18:15. Srila Prabhupada has quoted Bhaktyamam Abhijanati. It's actually 1855. I'm not sure why this edition. So we're looking at Bhagavad Gita 1855. Krishna says, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation, nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, he is not revealed to everyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. So, many times non-devotees may challenge, you know, have you seen Krishna? I don't see God. You know, there is no God. There's no evidence of God because I'm not experiencing any of that evidence. But that is their misfortune, and that is their poor fund of knowledge. In the story of Brahma stealing the cows and the cowherd boys, Brahma himself is the creator. He has four heads, and he has the intelligence to create the whole universe. 100%, he is more than any of the greatest scientists and speculators and philosophers in this world in his power for understanding what's what in this universe, understanding how the material elements are interacting. And when he stole Krishna, he wanted to play a trick. He wanted to understand the opulence of Krishna. And Krishna showed him. And at the end, what was his prayer? Actually, if you study all of his prayers, they're exactly on this point. The point is that even as Brahma, I cannot understand your opulence. He says, some people may say, I know everything about Krishna. He says, let them think this way. I don't have very much to say about this. As for myself, what I can say is, I cannot understand your opulence by my mind, by my body, by my speech. So this is Lord Brahma speaking. Then what to speak of any of the, you know, greatest, you know, very puffed up intelligent scientists and philosophers in this world. There's another very nice purport from Srila Prabhupada that is very relevant to this point. In the 11th chapter, which is connected to the matter of the universal form, Arjuna wants to understand Krishna's opulence, how he is pervading the whole universe. And so he says, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. And this purport is exactly on this point. Srila Prabhupada says, it is said that one can neither see, hear, understand, nor perceive the Supreme Lord Krishna by the material senses. But if one is engaged in loving transcendental service to the Lord from the beginning, then one can see the Lord by revelation. Every living entity is only a spiritual spark. Therefore, it is not possible to see or to understand the Supreme Lord. Arjuna, as a devotee, does not depend on his speculative strength. Rather, he admits his limitations as a living entity and acknowledges Krishna's inestimable position. It's exactly the opposite of the arrogant scientists and philosophers. Show me God. Where is your God? Like Hiranyakashipu is demanding, where is your God? So the devotee is humbly admitting, Krishna, it is not possible for me to perceive you without your causeless mercy. Arjuna could understand that for a living entity it is not possible to understand the unlimited infinite. If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. What a great sentence. That encapsulates the whole idea. If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. The word Yogeshwar is also very significant here because the Lord has inconceivable powers. If he likes, he can reveal himself by his grace, although he is unlimited. Therefore, Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He does not give Krishna orders. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders fully in Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service. Thus, it is not possible for persons who depend on the strength of their mental speculations to see Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also, he quotes this verse from the 9th chapter, Maya tatam idam sarvam. Krishna says, by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Sata Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within himself and outside himself, if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. Thus, for people in general, he is not visible. So, our great barrier to seeing Krishna, to perceiving Krishna, is false pride. And Nalukurera and Manyagriva were realizing that. They had become very degraded, very arrogant. And Krishna will appreciate at the end, after they've offered their prayers, Krishna will tell them how they were blessed by Narada Muni, how it is such great fortune to come into contact with a saintly person like Narada Muni. And Krishna says how they had so much false pride before, and now by the grace of Narada Muni, they have become humble. So now they can recognize these points. Who is Krishna? What is his opulence? How can we know Krishna? It is by becoming humble and submissive and a servant of Krishna. So maybe we'll leave that point there. Today is also the disappearance day of Lokanath Goswami. And so we can try to say something about him. Lokanath Goswami was born in a place called Talakandi in the district of Yashodhar. As far as I can understand, I could not understand exactly, but it is somewhere in East Bengal, what is now must be present-day Bangladesh. He was born 2 or 3 years before Mahaprabhu. And his father was named Padmanabha Chakravarti. His father was initiated by Advaita Acharya. And he had studied from Advaita Acharya and had made his own Sanskrit school in his place, in that Talakandi. And so Lokanath, in his upbringing, was studying under his father until the age of 14, when his father sent him to Shantipur to study under Advaita Acharya. And at that time, Nimai Pandit was also studying under Gangadas Pandit. And at that time, they met and they became friendly. They developed their relationship at that time. It says that Lokanath Goswami, he loved Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of the biographers of Lokanath Swami quotes Lokanath Goswami as having said, anybody who likes to read Srimad Bhagavatam, that person is my friend. So he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and at some point Advaita Acharya put him under the care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, indicating that he was like a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when his study was complete, he again returned to his home of Talakandi and created his own school. He was then fit to become a teacher. So there was like a 5-year period of separation when Lokanath Goswami was in his own place, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip. And after Nimai Pandit, he defeated the Digvijay Pandit. Then he took a tour of East Bengal. And he went to the place of Lokanath Goswami and he spent some time with him. And then he took him for travels as he went around East Bengal. And then at the conclusion of those travels, he left him again at his place and then returned to Navadvip. Then there was also some period there. Lokanath Goswami, his parents passed away at that time. And Lokanath Goswami, feeling separation from Mahaprabhu at a certain point, he returned to Navadvip to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the time he was there, when he arrived, it says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting with a few of his associates, and already it was decided that he would take sannyas and that he would leave. That idea was just manifesting. Nimai Pandit, this is before he got the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which was his sannyas name. As Nimai Pandit, who very joyfully embraced Lokanath Goswami, very happy to meet him, his childhood friend. It says that they had a very joyous reunion. They had kirtan together late into the night. And at the end of that kirtan, Nimai told Lokanath, "I'm so happy that you have returned here. I want you to go, return to your home now. And tomorrow we will meet again and speak. And I will tell you something. Krishna has a very important service for you. Very important service that you will carry out." And so Lokanath, he couldn't sleep. He was thinking, what is this service? What will I do? When they met again, Nimai was telling Lokanath, "I want you to go to Vrindavan and establish the holy places." And Lokanath was feeling actually devastated. "I've just come to see you, and now you are sending me away. Have I done some offense?" But Nimai said, "No, it is not like that. This is a very, very dear service. Vrindavan is very dear to me. Vrindavan is very dear to you also, because you are such a student of Srimad Bhagavatam. You love Vrindavan. And serving Vrindavan Dham is the most glorious type of service. Because in the eternal Vrindavan Dham, only the great devotees can go there. Only the highest perfected devotees can go there. But here in this worldly Vrindavan, it is for everybody. Everyone can come there. And so it's important that the holy places be revealed to the world so that others can get the benefit." He also said, "It is one thing to do sadhana and come to the perfectional stage on one's own." He said, "But how much more wonderful, glorious it is to help others also achieve that great goal." So they had this kind of discussion, and Lokanath was convinced. After a few days, with great sorrow and separation, he took leave of Nimai Pandit, and before he left, another person named Bhugarbha, that person also volunteered to Nimai and said, "I also want to go with Lokanath and help him to uncover these holy places," to which Nimai agreed, "Yes, this is a very nice idea." So like that, after a few days, with great sorrow and pain, they left. They left Navadvip, actually never to see Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, ever again. It took them 3 months to come to Vrindavan. And it's said by the biographers that these two personalities of Lokanath and Bhugarbha, excuse me, Narottam Das Thakur has revealed that Lokanath is Manjulali or Leela Manjari, and Bhugarbha is Nandi Muki or Prema Manjari. So these two Manjaris, they took their incarnation in the Gaura Leelas. And in the Krishna Leelas, these two Manjaris, they are so closely connected as friends. It is said that they are like one soul in two bodies. They are so closely related. So when these two personalities, they came to Vrindavan, it's described, it was just like a jungle. Just a completely undeveloped jungle. Only people that were here was some aboriginal people who were not devotees and could not help them understand the pastime places. You know, who were those aboriginal people? In the Krishna Leela, the gopis appreciate the aboriginal girls, how they are not satisfied materially, but they're taking the dust of Vrindavan and smearing it on themselves. And by smearing that dust of Vrindavan on their bodies, they're becoming peaceful and happy in Krishna consciousness. So there's some aboriginal people. They were here in Vrindavan forest, and it was just like a jungle. And they were searching. It was a very difficult task, I think, that could only be accomplished because they were empowered. They may have had a little evidence from the scriptures, how to find different pastime places. Sometimes they might have found the ruins of an old temple or a pond, and these things may serve as indications of where different holy places are. My understanding is that the great personalities who are so spiritually evolved, they may be very sensitive to the spiritual nature of a place. And by Krishna's empowerment, they can understand many things that are not ordinarily understandable by a conditioned soul. So at one time, there was a Kund named Kishori Kund. And as Lokanath was doing his service, at one point, the deity of Radha Vinod was in that kund for who knows how long. So that deity of Radha Vinod took the form of an old aboriginal person and carried himself to Lokanath and said, "Hey, I have been worshipping these beautiful deities of Radha Vinod, but I am an old man now, and I can't worship them anymore, so I'm leaving them in your care to please look after them." So Lokanath was very astonished and appreciative of the beauty of these deities, and was absorbed in seeing their forms. And then when he looked up again, he was wondering, you know, where is that person who gave me these deities? But he could no longer see that person. It's just Lokanath, he did not have a formal temple to care for his deities. So just he had like a cloth that he would carry on his body, and he would keep those deities in his cloth, and that was like his temple. And it's described how he would just make whatever preparation, whatever kind of offerings he could make. He would take fruits, he would take vegetables just from the jungle of Vrindavan, and he would offer to the deities. At night, when they would take rest, he would arrange for a flower bed so that the deities could take rest on a soft bed of flowers. There's a story at some point when they must have had some temple facility. Lokanath, he had those deities, Radha Vinod, arranged on the altar. And He had decorated them very beautifully with some beautiful ornamentation, and he was gazing at them, and he became so absorbed in their darshan that it's like he lost external consciousness, and he forgot that he also had to cook for them. And so usually he was cooking with the help of some simple person, a servant person in the kitchen. And that person was waiting in the kitchen, when will Lokanath come to begin the cooking? And he wasn't coming and wasn't coming. And so Radhavinod decided to take the form of Lokanath and come to the kitchen and do the cooking. Something like when Krishna expanded into the forms of the other cowherd boys. So Radhavinod expanded into a form just like Lokanath's, and he came to the kitchen and he began the cooking with the help of that person. And at some point, the helper, he went to the temple and he was amazed. Lokanath is in the kitchen, but he's also still in the temple, absorbed in samadhi, staring at the deity. How is he in both places at once? And so finally it was revealed to Lokanath, hey, someone else is looking just like you and is doing the cooking. And so Lokanath understood that actually Radhavinod had cooked for himself. So with the help of Radhavinod, Lokanath, Bhugarbha, they found many pastime places in Vrindavan. One place I read, it says they found 333 pastime places. So it was one type of challenge to find the holy places before he had Radhavinod, and then with Radhavinod's help, maybe more pastime places were found. So other great personalities began to come to Vrindavan. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan came, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Prabodhananda Saraswati, and others. And those great personalities, especially Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were also engaged in uncovering, finding holy places in Vrindavan, establishing the holy places, and also writing Bhakti Shastri, the scriptures based on Bhakti. And so they had some powerful Sangha for some time. And then Lord Chaitanya, he disappeared. Several of the Goswamis disappeared until it came a point there were four major personalities left. That was Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami especially was concerned that the Bhakti Shastris, the great treasures written by Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, that they be distributed to other places, so that the message of pure devotional service given by Lord Chaitanya could be preached. And so three important persons ended up coming to Vrindavan who would help in that mission. That was, Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya, he took shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Shamananda Prabhu, he took shelter of Jiva Goswami. And Narottam Das Thakur, he came there. He wanted to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. And these three persons, they would help. They did tremendous service distributing the literature of Rupa and Sanatana. So Lokanath Goswami had taken a vow that I will not accept any disciples. And Jiva Goswami was becoming anxious. And the Vaishnavas were... Excuse me. I'll just take a minute to finish the few stories here. So These other two personalities, Srinivas and Shyamananda, they had taken shelter of Guru, they were initiated properly, and Jiva Goswami, he wanted to send Narottam Das Thakur out for preaching, but it couldn't be done until he's initiated. And he was absolutely fixed in taking initiation from Lokanath Goswami, but the problem was, Lokanath Goswami had taken a vow not to take any disciples. So this was actually a problem. Narottam Das Thakur himself was a prince. He was the son of of a king of some place in Bengal, I guess. I forgot. And he was a very blessed person. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to the river Padmavati and he left his love in that river. And later Narottam Das Thakur would come to that river and take bath there and himself be infused with that love which was left by Lord Chaitanya. He was such a special person. But he was a prince. He was the son of a king. And at a certain point, Narottam Das Thakur, he had been repeatedly refused for initiation by Lokanath Goswami. He decided to secretly go to the place in the forest where Lokanath Goswami was answering the call of nature early in the morning. And for 1 year, secretly, he was cleaning that place and leaving jugs of water there and making arrangements to make it clean for his guru. And his guru, Lokanath Goswami, at first was thinking, who is doing this? Maybe it's like, you know, one of the Aboriginal people. But after a year, it was continuing like that. At one point, Lokanath Goswami, he secretly hid behind a tree and he came there much earlier in the morning to understand. And eventually it was revealed, oh, it is Narottam. So this softened Lokanath Goswami's heart. Again, he was still reluctant, I cannot take any disciples. But after some time, after some days, finally he agreed. You are the most worthy candidate to be initiated. You have to be initiated. So Lokanath Goswami, he broke his vow and he initiated Narottam Das Thakur. When those three personalities, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas, and Shyamananda, when they were sent out for Sankirtan, Lokanath Goswami was over 100 years old. He was actually at an age when he needed such a caring disciple. That's, you know, the time of life. He needed some assistance at that time. It was actually a great act of renunciation that he gifted Narottam Das Thakur to the Sankirtan movement at the time when he needed him the most. But Lokanath Goswami made that sacrifice. They all went with the blessings of the Vaishnavas. It says that Srinivasacharya, he was preaching in South Bengal, Narottam Das Thakur in North Bengal, and Shyamananda in Orissa. The samadhi of Lokanath Goswami, we probably know, is in the courtyard of the Radha Gokulananda temple. The Pratibhu Murtis of Radha Vinod are there on the altar, along with other deities. The original deities of Radha Vinod are now in Jaipur. Anyway, a few stories I forgot to tell, but maybe we'll leave it there. Are there any questions or comments? Someone. I'm sorry to keep everybody after 9 o'clock. We'll just keep it very short. Maybe one question is enough. Okay, the offenses are considered more here in Vrindavan. Right. So how important it is to take shelter of the instructions, especially we're taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, to try to avoid and minimize those offenses. That's one point. Another point is we are worshipping Gurnitai because they are merciful, and it is their desire that even us fallen people of Kali Yuga have some possibility to serve in Vrindavan Dham, right? It is Lord Chaitanya's desire, as we saw from the story of Lokanath Goswami. Why is he sending all of these incredible personalities here to establish this place? That is because it is desire that people can take the benefit. So if we will worship Gurnitai, they are very merciful and they don't take offenses. And so that's my humble answer. Maybe we'll leave it there for today. Thank you so much for your attention. I apologize for going over time. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lokanath Goswami Ki Jai.